Hello and welcome to another episode of the Just Go Watch podcast. This week we're swinging through the trees with Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I knew you were going to do it. That's all the music we're getting.
Yeah, that's all we're getting.
Yeah, there is nothing. What there's no song that I can think of except what song?
Don't you know you got to shock the monkey?
Is that a real song? Is it?
Is that a real song?
Peter Gabriel, Shock the Monkey.
Oh my god!
You are so uncultured. It's embarrassing.
It was
from the 80s.
The only song I could think of was the one from The Simpsons. It's like, Dr. Seuss, Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss, Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss, Dr. Seuss.
So, in short, there is no music.
There is no music.
It's basically just monkey noises. Just ape noises.
Yeah. That is good.
Yeah, good. That sounded like the thing on the Joe Rogan podcast.
It does. That's right. I don't know why that is his thing. Why does he have that?
I don't know.
The Joe Rogan Experience. Gone off the board for me, that has.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. All right. Well, let's not slag off Joe Rogan. Yeah, we might need his help.
No. Oh no. 100%. Yeah. I'm hoping Spotify will pick us up and just fund us and just.
That will.
I think us with whiskey and cigars whilst on the pod. I reckon that's our next step.
Yeah, I don't drink whiskey, I don't smoke cigars, but I'll take an espresso martini anytime.
Oh my goodness. Well, one of those little like candy cigarettes.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Just, like, pretend.
Yeah, no problem.
Are you partial? Yeah. You partial?
I'll come with a cigar. We'll sit with a cigar. We don't mind.
Funny how Haps knows about a child substitute for cigarettes. Interesting.
Yeah, well, he has a big box in the back.
Believe it or not, I actually was a child once. I actually was a child once pretending to smoke. So, you know,
I had to stop myself from saying a horrendous joke there. Cool. That would 100% have needed to be edited out. I'm growing as a person.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. The editing is
the maturity is astounding.
The editing is one of my least favorite parts of the pod. One of them.
Yeah.
But my least favorite is when you log on.
That's your least favorite part. MP's least favorite. MP's friend's least favorite part is you. Welcome, American listener who hates that. Just know that you're not alone. You're not alone in your hatred.
I'm going to pronounce accent. Things in my most British of voices just for you. No, it's all love, though. It's all love. As I've said before, I want to hear whether you love us or hate us. I'm indifferent to it all.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to have human feelings to be affected by them. And obviously, I don't.
You don't have those. You are dead.
We gave up on those a long time ago.
You are dead inside.
Yeah.
But anyway. On that, MP. Do the socials thing.
Oh, well, we have to do the podcaster mumbo jumbo.
Existence.
Yes. This is my existence. Oh, boy, I've got some counseling to do. Anyway, yes, you definitely want to check us out on our social media, on Twitter or X and Instagram, Just Go Watch Pod. Like the fella said, leave us a review, talk to us. We've got so much. God, we got messages everywhere lately. I can't keep up with them. Let us know how we're doing. If you give us a positive review, as I've said before, me and Hatch will gladly interact with you. But if you do give us a negative review, you do have to deal with the Muad'Dij, which, by the way, on our ex Twitter, whatever you want to call it, the ghost of Jules left us a little mean review. So, Deej, if you want to deal with that, I'll give the floor to you.
Listen, I can't, and no one can control the ghost of Jules having died in that grisly plowing accident. Well, no, it was a plowing accident, wasn't it? When he was trying to he was trying to sow his seed for the next winter, and he fell under the tractor and was churned up. It is a grisly death, and he's an angry spirit. So it's occasionally he does. Listen, this guy is a troll, man. Can I just talk about this for a second? Yeah, if you go through all of our socials, yeah, I don't know how many things I've had to delete of him just sending us abuse. Like on Spotify, there's loads of reviews from him saying worst pod ever. On Good Pods, he leaves horrible reviews. He says horrible things on Twitter. Like, what a horrible man. To try and burn down the pod he helped create. What a terrible person. But there we are.
So there we are. On a separate note, when do you think we'll get to the point where it's just X and not Twitter/X? Do you think that'll ever happen?
I don't care. I don't care. What a stupid thing. And Elon Musk is a weird looking guy. I feel like his face is stretched too far over his face. He reminds me of if you've ever seen Star Trek Insurrection.
Yes.
He reminds me of one of those what are they called? You know, the
I can't remember what they were called, but yeah.
You know what I mean, though? He reminds me of those
pulled guys. The skin and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He reminds me of one of those guys. Insidious looking fuck. So there we are.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the
give us a review. Follow us on whatever you're listening to us on.
We're
here for you.
There are currently messages unread. We will get back to you. I promise. I swear. I read some and then had to mark them as unread. Otherwise, I will just forget. But I will be replying. I promise.
Yeah, I never want to answer some of them. Like, Hatch has already talked to this person. And I think, should I go in there and pretend I'm Hatch and just start talking shit to him?
That's definitely going to happen at some point. We actually almost shared the same story after someone had shared our episode, which wouldn't have been so bad because that'd just been a double share, right?
I can promise one thing. Not one listener cares about the you two swapping Instagram semen together. No one cares. Not one.
The people who are waiting for their messages.
Shoot it on our face, please.
The people who are waiting for their messages. Oh, to me, that's horrendous.
That is grim. Okay. Please just move on. Don't even.
Let's go talk about this film. So Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which is the fourth installation of the Planet of the Apes franchise since 2011 when it was kicked off, and this is directed by Wes Ball. So runtime 145 minutes, well over the 2 hours, with a budget of, now before we go into this, I will do this film first. I have using super enhanced techniques, I've managed to calculate the budget of all the franchise up to this point and the box office up to this point for the first three films. So what I'm going to ask from you first is the budget for this film and the box office, and then we'll do the rest of the franchise.
Okay.
So you get it. So another little nugget.
So when you say you did something super technical, you literally just looked up what the budget's worth for the...
Right, very received. Technical. Received. Very, very technical.
Received. I reckon the budget for this film... I'm going to say 220 million. And the box office thus far, I mean, who fucking
is Saturday? You can give me projected.
I'm going to say 70 million.
Okay.
All right. For this one, the budget, I will go 150 for the budget. And God, I can't even guess the box. After what's his name? The Fall Guy. God, that has not done very well, which I don't know why. We gave it a good review. You should have went and saw it. But anyway, projected over the weekend. Is that worldwide?
Possibly. Yeah.
70 million?
So the budget, MP, you were closer. 160 mil.
Naturally.
And the projected is 50 to 55. So that's one apiece, isn't it?
It's always the way it is.
But... Well, now, here's the point where you can get extra points. So, not including this film, what is the budget of the first three films?
What, in total?
The first three films total.
I'm going to say... 350 million for the first, first three.
I'll go ahead with what you were going to say. I'm going to go 400 million.
Okay. And what is the box office? So this is worldwide up to now. So we've got full facts and figures. What's the box office for the first three films?
I'm going to say 1.1 billion.
MP? I don't know. They keep making them, so they must be making money. Oh, I don't think I'll go that high. I'll go 750 million and 37 cents.
Okay, so the budget for the first three films, 480 million.
Yes.
MP, that's you. And the box office, both of you were quite negative on the box office for this. 1.68 billion.
Really?
Wow.
Whoa. Well, we split it again.
Wow. Wow. The only thing we can really take from that is that I was closer in those.
So hang on. So both of you won one each again. For fuck's sake.
I know it.
Yeah, but the budget's less important than the what was made.
It's going to be down to the Rotten Tomatoes to be the decider again. All right.
Oh God, I'll get it right. Brian Nissan Al Gaib. I am the pod. I am the Mahdi of the Pod Nation. Never forget.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. You ready for the plot of this one?
I am.
Whenever you are.
Okay. Well, so this one kind of takes a step away from the other three ones. We're now looking those ones well in the past. So we are, although it's not mentioned, 300 years after Caesar's death in the last film. And apes have taken over. The whole world is post-apocalyptic. Skyscrapers are covered in trees. And we have our friend Noah and his tribe who raise eagles. And they have a big bold bonding ceremony in it. Noah is the son of the chief, or the head bird man. Unfortunately for them, they come across a human who draws the attention of an evil tribe who want to conquer. And his tribe are taken by this other one back to their lair to work for them. Noah then has to go on the rescue path, making friends with a big old orangutan who teaches him the ways of Caesar, and also getting to know this human, who it turns out is actually intelligent, unlike the rest of the human race, who are pretty much feral. It turns out that this new Proximus Caesar is trying to get into a vault where he believes there's going to be some big technology, and the girl is basically trying to stop him, and we find out her name is May. Noah and May work together to stop him, but it turns out May has got some sort of naughty motives. She's just trying to stop the ape. She wants humans to be rising to the top, which leads to her and Noah having some differences. She floods the vault after the big doors are opened, and manages to stop Proximus from getting any of the technology. Noah then beats Proximus in a fight with the help of his clan, and he's killed by the birds. Noah is then able to rebuild with his tribe and build it bigger and stronger, but also wary now of the human threat, because May has delivered some technology to humans who of which still are around in an intelligent capacity, talking to each other via radios as we end the film.
Mm. Oh, is that it? Mm.
That's good. That's because you've come a long way, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Days of you shaving yourself on a weekly basis.
I've come a long way, just like the apes have. No longer are they just the amusements behind cages. Now they are at the forefront. You know, they're looking on.
They're disgusting at their amusements in the first place. That's my vegan rant over with, though.
No, I agree. I don't agree with zoos.
Only the murdering of innocent animals. Well, we'll pass that. We'll leave that alone.
Yeah.
We're not going there. Gosh. We're not doing it, especially not when half our listeners are Yanks who like kill like 1,000 cows a day just to feed one household.
That's right.
So,
but it tastes so good.
Suddenly, the Just Go Watch is anti-American. Apparently,
suddenly, not suddenly. There has been that vibe since I've gone on this episode or on this podcast.
No way.
Underneath the surface, just waiting to bubble through.
I used to love Americans until I met you.
Well, that's
I don't mean that.
I get that a lot.
I'm pro America.
A lot of women like men before they met me. So there you go.
I used to like the British until I grew up and knew myself. So.
Yeah.
You go.
Well, we come back again, don't we? The only thing we factually know is that one of our listeners hates your British accent. So we know that for sure. you are ruining the pod for her. Her pod experience.
I should have never shared.
I should
have never shared that.
I'll bring it down. I fully accept that. Do you know if I brought it? If I brought it up, I think I'd just be upset. I prefer to be negative and bring things down.
I just think she's got good taste. I don't know her name, so I'm going to assume her name is something like Mary Beth or something like that.
Nailed it right there.
I can just picture her now. Goddamn Brits, can't stand it. Can't understand. They only understand every six word they say. Stupid idiots.
If it's if it's just to help, I am currently sat in a red coat. I always record
in a red coat.
My musket propped up against the wall.
Well, you know that didn't work out well the first two times y'all tried that. So.
Listen, if you're listening to this pod, you know it's going to take us 15 minutes before we actually review the pod. So, you know, you only have yourself to blame.
I need to plot.
I remember saying that many years ago. I remember saying many years ago in season two that if you're the type of person that comes here seeking nothing but a movie review from the start, why are you here? Exactly. Why are you here? Why are you still? That's not what this is. This film is the premier movie review site in the world, yes, but it's also a place where you can be free to engage in hate-filled rants towards your friends and enemies. So that's what this is.
More so to your friends, in fact. You give your enemies a lesson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you don't hate your friends with the passion of a thousand suns,
really call them friends.
If it's also it's also further consolation to our listeners, in addition to wasting your time, we actually waste our own time because we said we were going to start over an hour ago, and we're only 16 minutes in. So, yeah, rest assured, it's not just your time that's being wasted. My evening is completely ruined.
Yeah, but just listen, isn't it? It's not really so boring. Or, you know what I mean?
Oh, we're going to review this film. What a wonderful film it was. What did you think, guys?
Boring. Yeah, I want to hear someone be called a pedo. Right?
Exactly.
Because that's what I'm here for.
That's right.
Right? While someone talks about a film occasionally.
If I can take you away from going any further on that, please.
Yeah, my bad.
Are your thoughts and what was your rating?
Right.
Just to let you know, the film was called Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
I did read out the plot summary 15 minutes ago.
Yes. So I felt like I should go last because it's obvious. It was obvious to me as I watched this film, the way this pod was going to go. I knew in my heart the darkness that was going to envelop me when not only I gave my opinion, but then the horrid torrent of abuse I would get. And then having to listen in the foggy mire of despair as you two gave what will surely be a savage and ravaging review of this film. However, at the risk of throwing myself to the mercy of the baying wolves that is the Just Go Watch podcast host.
He knows us so well.
Enjoyed this film. I quite enjoyed this film. It helps that of the three of us, I'm the only one who seems to have actually watched the other ones and remembered them. But I am. It's not fucking Shakespeare, right? Of course. But if you go and see a film called Planet of the Apes of any kind, right? You're going to see a film about loads of fucking apes fighting other apes and humans. That's what the film is going to be, right? If you're looking for it to be something else, you've gone to see the wrong film. So I go and see this film. I quite like the characters. Noah, I thought Noah was good. Like, fair enough, he's CGI or whatever, but like, there's emotional depth there. I got him as a character, his motivations. They built him up, you know. He had his friendships and his loyalties, and I understood his motivation. The actual, but maybe the weakest part of it was the human part, to be honest with you. Like, May was kind of, how she knows what she knows and is able to do what she's doing. It never really gets explained. But the ape part of it, I kind of got it. And it's 300 years in the future. So I thought I was quite interested in how the evolution of Caesar's storyline had, I suppose, evolved over those 300 years and how it had been, I suppose, abused really by what they've got now. But that's religion, isn't it? That is literally what happens with religion. So yeah, I was engaged with the story. I thought the CGI was actually really good. Particularly, I thought when the apes were wet. When the apes were wet, I was like, the texture on the skin here, excellent. So I thought CGI was good. I enjoyed the story. It wasn't a fucking masterpiece by any means, was it? But yeah, I enjoyed it. It's just that it's a post-apocalyptic world. It's like watching a zombie film. Like, you kind of know what you're going to see. Instead of zombies, it's apes rule the world. So it is what it is. It's Planet of the Apes. If you don't want to see that, then don't go see this film. But if you like a Planet of the Apes film, which I do, I enjoyed it. So it wasn't a masterpiece, but I say a 6.5. I'll give that. And there we are.
Okay.
Now beginner of the fury. I'd turn off now if you enjoyed this film, boys and girls, because you're not going to like what's about to happen. I can tell you that. Tell you that now.
Now, let me just sit you down and school you about, you know, a real movie review. So let's see. Purple. Kingdom of the Planet of the City of the Country of the and the Planet of the... That's a long title. Why would you make that title? Anyway, I'm going to tell you, I'll agree with some of what Deej says. The visuals, I think, are really the highlight of the movie. They have been with the other three as well. I did see them. I don't remember everything that happened in them. But I do remember Andy Serkis really sort of developing his name even further in the motion capture world with his performance as Caesar. I think this movie continues with that. There's a few moments where it gets a little bit wonky. But for the most part, the visuals pull you into the movie. There were moments, because I'll get into this with the negatives, where I had time to try to look and see kind of where the CGI stopped and the real world kind of met as far as the film was concerned. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure that out. And there was some really, really good seamless integration of the two. I'll agree with some of the character work. I will disagree a little bit with, like, you learn Noah because this is his hero's journey throughout the movie. However, some of his family and friends, I guess, from the beginning, I kind of forgot about until they come back around. In fact, when he makes it, they capture him and take him back to the evil castle or whatever you want to call it. The first couple that came up to him were like, oh, yeah, that was that girl. The one, I think that was his mom that was Proximo's servant. He was using her as. I kind of thought it would have been funny if, you know, he invited him up to his throne room and Proximo was just, you know, going monkey sex on his mom, being like, hey, Noah, there's your mom. But that's because I'm a horrible human being and I think like that. The characters that I like Rocco. I want to
see your browser history.
Yeah, I know it. We talked about this earlier and the stuff we look at. I liked, was it Rocco? Was the orangutan or Rocco?
Rocco.
Yeah, he was really good. I liked that character. I liked Proxima Caesar. He kind of leaned towards Bond villain, but at least you could kind of understand his motivation a little bit. He was evil, but he wasn't like super evil. You could see sort of where he was going as far as what his plan for the planet, the kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I didn't understand a few things we'll get to later, and I'm trying to hurry through this. The negatives, it was too long. God, this movie was too long. They could have cut a half hour of this movie and have been just fine. I did mention the characters I didn't get really into. I didn't understand, like, there's a human element where they capture the humans. There's a big chase scene, but then you never see any of those feral humans ever again. Instead, Proximo goes and destroys this other monkey village and makes them the slaves. That didn't make any sense to me. What else? Man, that's kind of, you know, at the end of the movie when I walked out, I didn't really know who this movie was for. It doesn't really push the story that had been set up in the other three movies further along. It just kind of nudges it along. And I guess they're setting up a sequel or a trilogy with that. But I don't know. Is it something that needed to be made or didn't? I don't know. That remains to be seen. It didn't really work in that regard for me. Ultimately, I know I hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. But to surprise my co-host, Deej, I'm going to give this a 6. And I know I rambled a lot on that one. I've been itching to talk to you all.
I love that. I love that ramble.
Interesting. That's a full 2 points higher than I anticipated you were going to be.
Really?
I was watching. Yeah, I just felt you were going to just come in and just be like, listen, I wanted to die.
I will say I'm tired of seeing CGI apes and monkeys. That's sort of getting old. This year has had, what, two or three movies with them in it. So But yeah, I think there was a lot of good here that I think if they'd have trimmed it down and maybe pushed the story in a few different directions that we might get into as we go on, I think it would have been a little bit better.
Just can I just pause one? What films have had CGI apes in it this year?
We had King Kong and Godzilla. They had a big CGI ape fight in the middle of it. Monkey Man wasn't CGI, but he wears a monkey mask. No more monkeys, goddammit.
All right, fair enough. Asked and answered.
This film has some problems. And my biggest problem with it is that, like, I kind of think, what's the difference between this and any other post-apocalyptic film, right? You may as well not have the humans in it, because the apes are the humans, right? I know their English is a bit stilted, but their emotions and everything else. This is exactly the same as if you'd had war has devastated the blah, 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 and now bands of humans, like, years later, like, do you know what I mean? This is like what's that one that had Pedro Pascal in it recently? Where he's a Scot and the little girl. Last of Us. This is that kind of thing. It's exactly the same. There's no difference. The thing about the previous films, now, I never really was great with them. I did see The Rise of the Planets of the Apes, which was the first one with James Franco. And that was all about how, you know, obviously it becomes a bit of a disaster, but you've got the apes and you've got the human side. And then the last two, I imagine, were the apes and humans almost like, you know, can they work together? Are they just going to be enemies? Like, is there just going to be distrust? From what I read, anyway, that's what it was. Deej, maybe you can correct me on that if I'm wrong. But this one, it goes so far ahead. So the first three films take place over 12 years. We've now jumped forward 300. So everything about the humans versus apes is all dead and gone. So this is now just the apes are humans. The apes are your main characters. And the humans are just like little add-ons. So it is literally there's no, my goodness, like how will the apes like we've seen what happens because we've seen Planet of the Apes and it's like our apes are in charge. That's the same here. Like there's no difference. I'd have liked to have seen maybe 50 years and in humans are really dwindling. Having said that, and that's a pretty big point for me. Having said that, I thought characterization was pretty good. Obviously, all the CGI is pretty good. I thought once I saw the CGI was fine, I didn't really look much further past that. I'm like, yeah, okay, it's fine. Mm-hmm. If it then jinks a little bit later on, like I'm already in. I know these guys are characters, and I appreciate that when you've got a film that's going to be almost entirely shot on motion capture and all that stuff, you may have some issues somewhere, but I can always give a film a pass for that if they're doing it well, which I think they were with like the mannerisms. The human characters are dog shit. Like they are literally a waste of time.
Yeah.
That MP, like, why are they capturing them? We never see that. Like you've captured a load of apes who are obviously way stronger. So why would you bother with humans unless you're just going to eat them? Like maybe they do that, but you don't show me any of it. You just kind of, yeah. How do we find May? How did the tribe know about her? I don't know. The characterization for the human character. I saw her in The Witcher and she was pretty poor, to be honest, in terms of acting. And I don't think she does much here. Not that she has much to do. It's just all a bit, I just think like, why have you chosen Noah? Like in theory, you chose Noah before the tribe even were attacked because you stole the blanket and stuff. Like what's made you think, oh, I watched that ape and I think he's, that's a bit weird. So that kind of whole thing with the human side of it, I really don't like in this at all, because she's then also a dick later on. And like, yeah, I don't get it. Like, oh, I want it to go back the way it was. You're 14. How the fuck do you know what it was like? Right. Like, how do you know?
Right.
Ridiculous. Having said that, yeah, characterization was good. This is essentially a very, very standard. You know, we've seen this film 100 times before. My tribe is taken. I have to go on, as you said, MP, the hero's journey. I have to go and reclaim my place. I have to Simba my way up and, you know, deal with Mufasa's death, basically, and then become the monkey or lion that I was always destined to be. That's basically what happens. And obviously it does happen. And it's no surprise when it does. It's no surprise when he outmaneuvers the big gorilla. It's no surprise when the henchmen gradually die off one by one. And it's no surprise when the monkeys at the end all are like singing, and the eagles, who obviously know it's the final act, all start to gather, and then obviously know to attack the other guy. But it's, this is, yeah, this is it's fine. And I actually think it's of that, despite the fact that it is very, very basic and threadbare in places. I don't think it's that bad at all. It's an easy watch. There's a reason these films make money, and it's because, you know, I like seeing flashy thing on screen. You know, lizard part of the brain is happy, even though I'm watching apes. So it's not bad. If this was on again, I'd happily, you know, I'd watch it in the background. I'm not going to pay it too much attention. And I wasn't really bored. It was very, very formulaic, and it was very, very standard. But sometimes there's actually nothing, like, there's a reason the hero's journey is the tried and tested way. And right. If you do it in an inventive way, if you do it in a way that's slightly different, then yeah, fine. I will watch it, but I won't give you too much for it. So I actually came to a 6.5 as well, believe it or not. Deej.
Deej, we proved you wrong.
Well, I've not given you guys enough credit, haven't it? I've assumed that the negativity that engulfs Hatch's black soul and the infestation of MP's heart, his proximity to Hatchie, the damage that's done, I thought that would result in terrible reviews. But you know, I think what you said.
Listen. It's not too bad. Monkey see, monkey do, and
very good.
This is, you know, it's very inoffensive. It's very, very inoffensive.
That's like, the best way to put it.
I'm trying to think of a film that this is like. I mean, it's like that. Was it a 1,000 years BC or 10,000 years BC? He's not quite ready for, I don't know if you ever saw that one. He's not quite ready for it. You know, his tribe get captured and he has to go and do it. And it turns out he's the chosen one. And, you know, this is, you could literally take the blueprints up to this, and there are a score of films that this is identical to, but you're just like, yeah, but what if it was an ape? And then you've just run with
like,
it.
It's interesting, like, the ape. Like, I know it is like, as I said, you can replace them with zombies or whatever, right? But in most post-apocalyptic things, we have, you know, the human race against the threat, right? Whereas if you watch this for a whole series of things, in the beginning, first film, humans are as we are, and then gradually the humans are fading away, and now you've got the apes there. And I just think there's an interesting interplay with kind of what would happen if apes were intelligent. And it's not just a simple, like, that's post-apocalyptic now, that's it. There's kind of a depth to it, a moral kind of, I don't know, conundrum side of it. It's not just, oh, the apes are now in charge and humans are trying to get back in charge. There's a kind of a deeper thing going on in the kind of the ape culture as well, and it was interesting. It raises the question of, people always talk about, oh, it's human nature to do these things, right? But is it actually the nature of intelligence, that as soon as something has intelligence, is it almost like a predetermined thing that, you know, there will be infighting and there will be a seeking of power and there will be slavery and there will be all these things? And it's not just a human nature, it's just what comes with intelligence. And it wouldn't matter what species it was, anything with intelligence will seek to do the same kind of things and go down the same path that humans have. And I thought that was quite interesting.
I think maybe, I agree with you, but I don't think they did enough of it. Like, I actually was thinking partway through, right, they should have played the bad guy more as a sympathetic, maybe eventually becomes a villain when he doesn't get his own way. But actually, like, if you'd had his other tribe people come initially, like, look, you know, and I was thinking, I couldn't help but do this. You know, I always translate Warhammer to everything. But, right, if you know anything about it, and my other Warhammer 40K nerds out there, the Emperor, by force, took over the planet Earth, or Terra, as it's known then, right? Because he's, in his head, he's like, I know the threats that are out there in the universe, in the galaxy. And if we are all divided, we will be picked off and killed. So I need to take over the whole Earth by force, and if I've got to wipe out some tribes and some peoples, then I have to do that, because we need to be one unified humanity in order to advance ourselves, take over the galaxy, and presume our rightful place as the galaxy's leaders. Right now, take that away. You, if you'd had this, I'm following in the steps of Caesar, and he truly believes it, right? He's not just using the words from the texts. Let's say he's, as you said, with religion, you know, let's say he is taking whatever has said and he's put his spin on it and how he believes it is. You have all these other people who, because if you actually looked at Proximus's, like the gang, because I'm pretty sure Caesar has a gorilla as one of his lieutenants. He has like a, is it Kobo, who's like the really horrible looking one? Mm-hmm. Kobo, who's also, so it was almost like you could see that maybe, are these the descendants? Are these actually the descendants of Caesar's tribe? But maybe they've gotten twisted somewhere. I think that would have been a really interesting thing. You know, maybe you could have had a conversation of, oh, you can trace our lineage back to the original guys who, do you know what I mean? That would be quite interesting. Yeah. And maybe they've become twisted. But maybe he initially extends the olive branch and he says, look, we need to be a one because there's a threat. There's human threats. There's other threats. This is our world. We should take it over. You can't be just training these birds in these stupid little huts here. Come and be part of my kingdom and you'll find there's all these other difference. And they're like, yeah, now we're fine where we are. And then he's like, yeah, that was more of I wanted you to come in peace, but also you will are coming. Do you know what I mean? And I think that would have been a bit more interesting. And then you could have also addressed I just think the humans were so wasted. They were like cattle. The feral ones, when they're just like running about, they may as well have just like, I know that. And I know in the the thing makes them
the virus. Right?
So
they've progressed.
But you're going 300 years. So you can now say like it is whatever. You can say like, oh, they kind of died out and whatever. This is where I think it was a bit cheap to go 300 years in the future, because you don't have to deal with the, you know, like, so 12 years was the first three films, right? And so you had the apes versus humans, and the apes are still establishing themselves, really. And you've still got these outposts of humans. But what about when it's like 50 years? So apes are pretty dominant, but there's still a lot of humans about. And that conflict is more. Here, it's like, oh, you know, humans are brushed to the side. Don't worry about them. We can add them in and at will whenever we want. I just thought that was, for me, that was a bit cheap. But if you had like more intelligent humans that maybe were a threat, and you were like, I can kind of see his point. Like, you know, these humans
could be a threat. Yeah, but is that not what the previous films were? Is that not what the previous films were?
Yeah, then you're just retreading what they did.
Yeah, like maybe they've tried to do something that was a bit different. Like the previous three films have all been...
Here you've got the twisted teachings and him trying to take over us all. Apes are fully in control. But
you can't have twisted teachings if you're not that far ahead, innit?
That's what I'm saying. So if you are going to be 300 years, I just still think I would have liked a little bit more diversification than the standard, you know, journey... Because he has to get his tribe back because bad man takes tribe. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to go 300 years in the future, the world is your oyster.
Yeah, exactly. Literally.
Like you could have done whatever. So why not have this sympathetic guy that can trace his lineage back to Caesar? That's maybe kind of gone a different bit of a route, but actually you're like, I can see that because we only realize the threat that May poses to the apes right at the end where you're like, oh, maybe he did, but wouldn't it be more interesting if that was the case while he was still alive? Because he dies a villain's death. He is there and he's like, oh, Noah, you've ruined my plans and like whatever. May's actually pretty horrendous because she was going to kill. She doesn't care. Noah and all that can die. Fuck them. We never see any kind of, oh, how does Noah feel about that? Like, actually, May comes up and he's like, sup, girl? Like, are you joking me? She was happy to for your entire tribe to die.
Yeah, why did what needed to be done in it? She did what needed to be done.
I kind of like that part of her character. I like that at the end, she just was like, and when he's like, can ape and man live together? And she's like, no. I was like,
I want to see,
like,
this was all our reaction. Anyway,
so,
he has no reaction to it. She's just trying to kill your tribe.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, man. It's like,
He was so chill.
There's like, no,
you've
gone like,
on this entire journey.
But it's not good and evil, is it? Man. It's not like I think they've tried to make it a bit more like gray. Like, she's not so much a bad person because she didn't want to like do that to his clan, because the whole plan just before they opened the door was that find your clan and get out, right? But then it happened, and he's like, and the Proximus is in there, and she's like, look, he can't have it. And it's true, he can't have it. You can't let Proximus get that
what
stuff.
What does Noah think is in there? What does Noah know of the threat that's in there, apart from what May has told her? May, this duplicitous, untrustworthy character, as far as he's concerned, right? What does he think is in there? Because we,
well, he doesn't
audience,
know, but he knows enough.
We, the
well,
audience, does he?
No. I think that's the point at the end bit, right? When he saw that telescope, right? This is me reading in, right? So fair enough. This is me as a watcher taking bits from the film. So maybe I'm writing this for them, but this is what I took from it. When he looks into that telescope, right? I think he sees Saturn. Right, I think that's what he sees, because then when he goes into that room, he sees that thing of the planets, right? And he stops and sees, and the camera deliberately pans past Saturn, and he's specifically looking at it. And then at the end, he takes the woman back to it, and he's looking back at the stars, right? And I think in between that, seeing that, and him going in and seeing this technology and looking at these books and kind of his, when he says, look, we're going to take what we've learned, I think what it's showing is that he has realized that not just that what Rack has told him about Caesar and Caesar's way of doing it, but that there is this much wider one, that humans had this technology and this you know, knowledge of the universe that goes so far beyond anything he could have even contemplated, right? So I think he understands that, without knowing exactly what it is that's in there, understands that, you know, yeah, all right, this guy can't get access to it. I think he got that, but obviously didn't want his family to die in the process of it. So I don't think it's a case of he's like, oh, why the fuck would you do that for? There was no reason. I feel like he's seen enough to understand why she's done what she's done, even though he
Let me ask you a question. At what point did your pen run out when you were writing the film for it? And how many pens did you have to use?
I don't think I'm doing that.
You must have gone through pages.
No, I don't think I'm doing that. I'm trying
to read into it, yeah, because I read into it that, well, I think the second time when he takes his girlfriend up to the telescope at the very end, I think if I'm putting... I'm writing the last page, whatever, for the movie. I think they see the spaceship that Charlton Heston is on. That leads to, because that's where this is all going. This is where all heading to that.
Whoa! Wait!
The things you guys are reading into.
Well, eventually that ship has to come back.
MP, wait! Let me hear more. Wait! What spaceship are you talking about? Because
this is a new franchise. Did you ever see? This is completely new.
Yeah, the original one.
We're heading to that, aren't we? They set that spaceship up in the first movie. Rise of the Planet?
Did they?
Yeah, they did. There's a news report about them going off to Mars, and then there's another news report that they lose contact with them. So that's setting up for them to come back. Because isn't that where this is leading? Or is this not where it's leading? Why would you call him the Planet of the Apes when there's no Charles?
Listen, I think both of you need to be careful. You're going to get shoulder injuries with the amount you guys are reaching.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't think I had 2.5 hours to figure out what I wanted this movie.
Have you guys got opposable toes? Is that how you can reach with both arms and legs?
Why do you think I'm reaching? I don't think I'm reaching there at all.
Maybe at the end, right? He sees the threat that humanity poses, right? But at the time when May does that, right, I feel like he's far too forgiving for her. If I'd seen her come back, let's say that even after that, he now accepts that there is that threat from humanity. He's way too chill with her.
Isn't your attitude, exactly the attitude she has? Because that's why she's got a gun behind her back. Because she goes there thinking...
By the way, the gun that was behind her back, and then as he hands her something, she uses both hands.
He obviously tucks it in.
It's literally...
Obviously tucks it in.
Yeah, of course.
Come on.
This is me splitting hairs, but that is a classic movie thing. Like, as in the way they edited it, it was shit. Tiny little nip.
I mean, we all noticed that, but I mean, obviously, smirk. She just tucked it in.
I did smirk it.
But she's turned up with a gun because she's thinking the same thing you're thinking. I don't know how he's going to react to this, but he's.
And why turn up in the first place then?
Because he's
why turn up in the first place?
Because they've got a bond, innit? Do you know what I mean? Like, he just. Like, he, I guess
how have they got a bond? She just used him. She didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, she's just using him.
No.
She did not.
No. She went in there, told him what she was going in there for. She was truthful about that, right? She went in there with him. She did what she did. The aim was to get his people away. It's just it all went south, innit? It went south, and she had to make a choice. And she made the choice that I would have made. So, and I think he understands. Yeah, I think he understands.
That's fine,
the
right? That's fine, right? But that doesn't. Why would he be happy with that choice, regardless?
He wasn't happy.
You can't say,
he wasn't happy.
Where was
he happy?
I kind of get.
Where do you get he's happy from that? He goes there and he's like, you can say he's like straight away, he's fucking mad wearing. He's like, look, you're it's right. You know, you want to see us back in cages or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, straight away. And then he's like, well, can we ever live together? Like he's trying to figure out this dynamic between them all now, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? But I don't think it's a case of like you're trying to say where he's just like, oh, no, you fucking betrayed me, man. You bitch, I'm going to tear your arms off. And whatnot. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's like that. You're not giving enough credit to his intelligence.
I'd have killed her.
Yeah, you'd have killed her for less.
Yeah, I would have done. I'd have killed her for less.
Well, yeah. You killed her as soon as she wasn't 12 anymore.
Oh my God. Anyway, also, the whole, we're going to take what we've learned and use it, what, by adding another floor to your fucking bird tower? Because yeah, that's what they were doing. Where's your defenses? Why are you not, what the fuck is this? You're literally just doing the exact same thing. Or
something, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they assume the threat's gone, innit? Maybe they think the threat's gone now. Like, you have to remember about the ape civilization. Yeah, but you have to remember about the ape civilization, right? Remember this. Humans, right, are like 200,000 years old. Sorry, Christians. About 200,000 years old, right? So, like, we've had out so much time to evolve, not just like our knowledge of the world, but our understanding of everything, of our own nature. You know, we've had so many wars and all these things to learn from mistakes. It's not as if we just like we got to where we are. They're 300 years into their evolution, and they're only as far as they are because of the kind of the human bits that have helped them get there. So they're still like figuring things out. Everything they're doing is for the first time. Like if you look at them, they're like, look at the, when they're left to their own devices, the kind of civilization they create, there's no real technology in there. It's mad basic. So they're like still making the same kind of like mistakes and things that we would have made like well early in our human history. So you can't, I don't think, impute onto them the same kind of logic and understanding as we would have had, as we have, because they're not, though they've got the intellect now to be able to speak and create, they're still like mad primitive. You've got to remember that.
I agree. And I really liked that it would be, it's a forced evolution, isn't it? So it's an odd, it is kind of like, you've actually still got these technological things about, and suddenly electricity and things like that, like the little weapons they use are like, holy shit. And actually that's made by a human. So they still don't really understand it. But I just thought, again, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to take what we learned.
It's like if we went back in time, 1,000 years, right, and went back with fucking AKs and fucking iPhones and shit and whatever, right? We could go back in time and show them how to use guns and all these things, and to a certain extent you could show people how to make things, but they're still going to have no concept of like the science that we have. No matter what you show them, they're not going to understand.
I'm not saying I expect that. That's not my criticism.
Well, I just feel like you're asking them to be
reference and what he picked it up.
Dreadful film.
No,
my point. No,
it was too much for him.
It was more of a throwaway. No. They just said they're gonna take what they've learned, and they then like, so basically what you're gonna take is that there are all these other tribes out there. Some of them will wish you ill, and when I just thought it's just, for me, it's funny. It's like an ironic thing. Like, oh, we're gonna take what we learned, and then the literal next shot is them just literally rebuilding the exact same thing that they have. Like, I think that would have been a perfect opportunity to maybe show some, like, you know, he's outfitted some of his boys with those little electric staffs, or he's built some sort of wall. Just to, for me, that would then be that visible representation that we have actually improved. I would have also liked a little bit more on these other tribes. Where are they come from? What was their vibe? Do you know what I mean? Have they come willingly? Are they now part of the thing? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I thought it could have been so interesting. Like we talked about, this is 300 years. And this, again, comes in where I think they've cheated us a little bit. You could have had all these other different types of, like, what kind of ape societies? Okay, we see the guys who raise birds. Like, yeah, great. What other societies? You've got a blank slate, right? Yes, okay, it's post-apocalyptic. But these are, as you just said, these are apes. They are forced into this evolution through unnatural means. So weird shit would prop up because they're going to have that elements of the humanity that came before them in 300 years, while that is a big amount of time, is not a huge amount of time. So you would still have some of those bits left over that maybe it's a bit like, you know, they don't understand some of the technology they have at their disposal. You know, you had the orangutan who has the books and stuff, and he's like, these symbols have meaning, like this means stuff. And so that you could have done so much more with that. Or again, Caesar's teachings, like apes strong together and all that kind of stuff. Man. You could have just done so much more with it. And all that they came up with was, yeah, what if this guy was like, I'm in fucking charge.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see if Proxima was like a charismatic leader that convince these tribes to join him, but then as they learn more about him, they start to see, you know, behind the scenes.
I don't know. But if you look at human history, especially early history, when do you see like, oh, people following people because they're charismatic? That's not what happens. People follow people because of power.
But
that's
what happens. It's not human history.
There's no reason to think it wouldn't follow the same path.
You can do whatever the fuck you want because you've got this forced evolution.
No, but I feel like you're trying to evolve them to a point where they wouldn't be. The more interesting question, I think, would be when Caesar died in the last one, the rest of his, you know, tribe and stuff was still there, and he died at peace because it was like, it's okay, it's all good, right? So how did his teachings get lost? Why did they lose the ability to read? Because 300 years is a long time, but it's not that long. It's not that long a period. You know, we'd be talking about looking back to what the 1700s and stuff. You know, we have history of what was going on then. It's not so long.
But we've evolved a long way since the 1700s.
A hell of a long way, but we know what happened there. It's not like we and certainly we haven't gone backwards. So why, as a human species, we constantly progress as a human species. Why is the ape species regressed, really? They've gone backwards because they've lost the ability to read. They've lost, the teachings around, you know, Caesar's teachings have been corrupted. But it's not that long ago since he was around. So how did that happen? I think that's a more interesting question rather than why is this guy... I can see why he's in charge. Because power rules, isn't it? It's mob mentality, like power. You know, I get that. That's what happens in. You watch The Walking Dead. It's just that he's Negan, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? That happens all the time. That kind of thing. But why did, when the original leader was such a good person, how did it go so wrong? Because his people, who were direct descendants of his teachings, were still there. So what happened to get them into this kind of worse stage, particularly when there's no threat from humans around anymore?
Yeah, exactly. But this is exactly what I'm saying. I feel like they took a cheap way out. You could have had all these other interesting, how did this happen? How did this happen? What came of this? What became of this?
You need another film, though, don't you? That's the problem. Yeah. You need another film to get you to where you are.
This is like, okay, they've taken away the difficult part because that is exactly the difficult bit. The difficult bit is, okay, so, you know, we've seen 12 years, and in that 12 years, they've gone from being normal apes to now having this intelligence and now almost starting to take over the world, right? In that 12 years. So what does that then look like over that amount of time where they are now in charge, or they're literally just at the point where they're in charge, right? There's no 50-50 divide. There's no they're on the up. They are in charge. Boom. Now what, right? Instead, we go forward 300 years. and we skip all of that hard bit of like, what would they make of the world? How would they treat themselves? And it's just right, 300 years. So they're all in tribes, and these guys raise birds, and this culture's developed where you've got to go up here and get an egg, and then these guys are over here by the beach, and they've apparently built a dam-like structure that keeps out the water and stops it rising, which is ridiculous. I mean, that whole fucking scene was ridiculous.
But anyway. you can kind of see how, like, I don't know, like, when you have a unifying force, right, like Caesar is, a unifying force, that, like, everyone's there under one banner, then Caesar dies and people split out. And even in the second Planet of the Apes film, Cobra tried to take over. So it's not hard to see how, with Caesar's not there, the wrong kind of people get in charge and how things kind of split off. And in a world where there's no fucking email, no internet, no technology to get about, it's easy to see how, you know, if a couple of people, no podcasts listen to, easy to see how a couple of like tribes just move a bit further afield, then they have kids and their kids move a bit further afield, how people spread out. And it's not like you can just call people. So when people spread out, it's nomadic, and then they're spread out. So I kind of get how you get to that. And maybe,
well, I can also get how then another tribe would want to take over another tribe. So what's the point in this film then, by your logic?
By your logic.
In that case, I can't.
Does there have to be a point? Why does there have to be a point? Why does there have to be a point?
There's no, like, why? Why does this film just get 6.5 from you, and yet you've just
telling me a story? Oh no!
Why is this film 9 out of 10?
I know.
As far as you're concerned, the CGI was great, and you love the texture, and that makes
what nonsense. What nonsense you're talking here?
I've not had one criticism from you yet. What a shamble of a rating.
Because all I'm having to do is defend from you against, like, yeah, this is almost as bad as last week when you fucking loved Fall Guy and then tried to rewrite the whole fucking script.
I gave this like half a point more than this film.
We forget.
Half a
lest
point more.
The problem with this film, well, no, it's not even a problem. It's not good enough. It's not good enough to warrant really high marks. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, Noah's journey, not that different to fucking Paul Atreides' journey, is it? Like, fucking family are killed, has to go on revenge and becomes a fucking savior of sorts, right? Ain't no fucking different, but the actual film itself is nowhere near as good. So it can't give it a high film, but, you know, like, so that it's not a criticism of it. There's no problem. There's nothing for me to say, oh, I really hated this part, or I didn't like this. It's not as good. It's not as highbrow. It's not as, you know, as engaging. There's the, you know, but it's a good film.
I'm giving you points of what would make it better for me.
Yeah, but what you're saying is you need another film. You're not saying, oh, in this film, this would have made it better. What you're saying is, I need there to be another film in between to bridge the gap as to how they've got to this point.
I'm saying that would have been advantageous, and I think this film should have been a continuation. I don't mind it going a few more years, but it should have been a continuation. And then my separate point was, then if you're going to tell this film, then I want to see more of the world I'm in. I want to see more of the other tribes, even if it is just literally as they arrive at the camp, you've got these different other kind of things, and maybe he gets a bit of a merry band of people from other tribes and stuff. I want to see a little bit more, because all we have is just like, oh, my kingdom, there are other tribes. And it's like, are there? Because I only see your tribe and your henchmen. Everyone else, as far as I'm concerned, this is your entire tribe. How is this held together? I mean, can we talk about also his actual base? Because the whole final act or final ends, big scene, I suppose you could call it, when that bomb goes off and that thing comes in, like, that water wasn't rising that high. That whole thing, I thought that lost.
I don't know where. I was actually sitting there in the cinema trying to work out the physics of it. So I was like, look, it's now gone well above sea level. Like, it's gone. It's flooding this thing above sea level. And I was like, thinking, all right, hang on, though. But if you flush water into something that's contained, it will continue to rise. And I was just like, I couldn't fucking work it out.
Now, basically, if you ran to the back of this thing, right, your ankles get submerged like that.
Yeah,
there's no way. Like, this,
up look in the cave too. It would have had to go all the way up levels.
This is what annoys me. This was deep blue sea level. This was the entire thing is going underwater. Are you telling me this primitive people, right, have built this serious dam? Beavers don't come at me, but they've built this dam. Like, how does that work? Like, from what I saw of it, they've built these struts and this raised balcony bit above the sea, and that was it. And they're on a beach. That's how I took it initially. Whereas the film is saying, no. They've basically, this is all water, and somehow they have created a dam on the sea to stop the tide coming in here. And this wall is so strong, it stops all of it. And now this sandy bit has dried out.
Or how about the fact that they've taken all this time and effort to blow the door open, when if you would have climbed around the other side, there was an air vent wide open.
A little bit of exploring, you might have seen this whole
wide open.
I agree with that.
That really
dropped it for me. You know,
but I plot me plotting in those bits, innit? How does she know that? How on earth did this girl know that that's there? That there's this hole in the grate.
She is the weakest part. How does she know what she knows? How did she make contact with these other humans? Because they'd have been inside, right? Because they're presumably unimmune humans. That's why they have to wear the suit. She is one of the 0.2% or whatever it is, as is that other bloke. So she's part of that. She doesn't need to do that. How has she got in contact with them? How does she know them? Where has she come from?
Maybe she's from them. And they've done tests and found out she's immune, and so she's gone out. And
maybe
she can't go
maybe
back
maybe but tell me that. Like, I don't like this. I think
How did they show me that she's immune? She must be immune.
Nah, you're writing the film for it. She's immune.
She must
we know
be immune.
She, yeah, she's immune.
And how else could she possibly have known they were there unless she came from them? How else?
You do not show me that.
Was she not allowed back in with the other humans? Because that lady takes the thing and then closes the door, and she's sitting outside.
No, I guess she can't go back in, can she? Because she'll be a carrier of the thing now. Maybe.
How did Proximus know about her?
Yeah, that's a good question.
How did Proximus know about her? Because he destroyed the village, didn't
he?
They were chasing her.
The reason that they came across the other guys, Noah's tribe, is because they were searching for the girl, and then they killed like the bloke they sent out at night, and then they followed the horse back to his tribe. But they were originally after the girl.
Yeah. So they say that they're gathering the other humans.
No.
It literally says that they came across her people. Killed them all, and she was lucky to escape. So I assume that there was a bunch
of
them.
So she's not part of the people.
No, I assume there was a bunch of them that were on a mission to try and find this fucking thing, and then they've got found by the apes who have killed all of them except her.
Yeah. So why is that?
They were always trying to get there.
Why is that not
cool? If they'd had a moment with her at the door, with like where they put this team together, and they say, "Look, once you go out and do this, you can't come back in." So it's almost like
kind of like a suicide. She's having a moment. She's having a moment with Noah. You know, and tells him of her, you know, her people.
She does say that. Well, she says what happens. Like, I mean, what's she going to say? Oh, listen, yeah, look, Noah, this ain't really going to make much sense to you, right?
It's not clear.
Hang on, let me just be clear. I just want to know. You can tell me. Are you saying, Noah, listen, this might not make much sense to you, but there's this underground cavern there where we have these, I don't know what you'd call them. They're kind of like massive bowls that talk to other things in the sky that allow us to talk to people all the way around the world. Well, basically, a bunch of us that are immune to this virus that you know nothing about have set off to try and find this place. But along the way, your eight friends came and killed all my friends, and I'm the only one that's left now.
So yes, they don't have guns.
I need a Zack Snyder type flashback.
They don't have guns.
Like, well, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. All I'm saying is, does it really matter? Do you really need to know how her friends were killed and whatnot? Do you really need to know that?
I'd like a little bit more on the human aspect.
Well, there we go. Listen, next time you say show, don't
okay,
tell,
the other bloke, the other bloke,
did, me, I'll the tell you, bloke. I'll remind you of this moment. I'll
where
remind other, you of your hypocrisy.
Where
hypocrisy
did the other bloke
be
come
thy
from?
Name, Chris?
Where did the other bloke come from? where did the other bloke? Where did the other bloke come from?
You mean the most relatable character in the movie? Because I would have been William H. Macy. I'd have been like, well, you got a hot shower and some coffee. Yeah, I'm good. Whatever you monkeys want. Yeah, I'm on your side.
I don't know. I mean, you must assume there are some nomadic humans around, right? Somewhere, I guess.
And he just happens to have this.
What, do you care, though? What, do you care where he was found? Does that matter to you?
No, but like.
My only thing with.
As in, if he's like the girl, right?
He's not lost intelligence. He's immune. He's immune. Yeah. What I'm saying is, does it matter to you? Did you want something that explains to you where he came from?
Yes. It's about the humans and the apes. If you're going to have like these are the humans who are still part of it, right? Is he born into a feral family, but because he's immune, he's fine? Like, or is he from these other people? Is he from the same group? And he's lost his way, and he's like, "Nah, fuck it, I can't be bothered to escape because I'm comfortable here. I just make them some technological stuff." Because he knows technology, so he's probably from them. But is he like? Do they not have a bit like? Why come back with me? You know, we can go back and we can tell the others. Like, where's that?
My criticism is what you said, Hatch, is that this is set 300 years in the future, and yet the humans act like they know what the world was like when the apes were just apes and we were in charge. They're like, well, you're not going back to that. How would they know anything about that after? I mean, outside of reading stuff, but they wouldn't fantasize about that.
No, I feel like they'd know that. Like I say, we know what history was like 300 years ago. And this lot, like, they've got access to technology, haven't they? They just don't have access to satellites. But like, it's not like as if we'd be like, you're talking three generations. You're not, maybe we're not like four or five generations. You're not going to lose like the entirety of human history in that time, I don't think. Like the humans that remained would have just carried on breeding, wouldn't they? Like, keep in mind, this lot that are in this thing, I assume have never been outside, unless they're in their suits. So they're just carrying on their communities, aren't they, with the same shared history that we've always had. So that's not going to change. You know, I just let me ask you this. If you've got humans, 300 years of humanity with enough technology that they've got fucking satellites and shit like that, but just don't have the key to it. It's enough technology that you think we'd be able to start building 300 years. Look how far we come in like fucking the last 20, 30 years, right? With all of that technology still at our disposal and people that know how to use it, would we not have, I don't know, started building our own settlements again, using the technology we've got and creating weapons of our own? I just don't see us being, for 300 years, being this docile species that are just waiting to try and communicate with someone.
No, like that, I agree.
We're a war people.
If they've got technology, why have they not got, you know, a bit more about them? I don't know.
Convenient to we're a warring the other people. End of the satellite.
It's essentially, for me, right, this film, right, because this obviously leads into a second, far more interesting looking film where the humans have actually got some sort of, okay, here they go. Maybe are they going to come back? Are they going to like mount some sort of thing? This film is essentially a 30-minute prologue before the next film, which is the actual film. That's as far as I'm concerned, that's what this, that gave you a little taster of the world. But the far more interesting part comes next. So this is a little segue.
To my theory about the spaceship, is that not where this is all leading to, or am I completely wrong on that?
I don't understand why, tell me what it is you think is actually going to happen.
Charlton Heston comes back, and we have the 1968 version of Planet of the Apes.
Is Charlton Heston in the first one?
Did you not see the original?
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
But yeah, I understand that. So you're linking the original Planet of the Apes, which has nothing to do with this, to this one.
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm assuming all of this is leading to. Because they set it up in the first one.
I do think
if
I
it's
think
not, then more... I am wrong. And yeah, I probably am getting
for me, that was a, for me, that was an Easter egg.
Because there were so many more interesting ideas that they could have used. Because in that version, the chimps have evolved into sort of the scientific class, and the orangutans are the religious class, and the apes are the military class, and there's sort of
we could have explored that, but
I guess if we're not leading to that movie,
so this is the first of a new trilogy, right? This one,
yes,
I've read. So you think, or eventually where this is ending is potentially in the third film, maybe someone lands back on Earth, mm-hmm. having thought they've only just taken off. Yeah. And actually many, many, many hundreds of years have passed. They don't think they're on Earth. But the only problem is with that, right? in the original Planet of the Apes, the whole thing was, oh my God, it's a Planet of the Apes. We've traveled into space and we found this thing. And then, oh, wait, actually, it's been Earth all along. Oh right. My God, I was wrong.
It would be fun to do that concept, but from the reverse, from the apes' point of view.
Fair enough. Like,
as in, do you know what I mean?
Where
it's
leading?
I don't know, but I kind of feel like
explain.
So as in instead of you're with the astronaut as he lands down, you're the apes, and you're like, holy shit, what's that up in the sky?
I thought at a point in this movie that that's what they were doing.
Well,
because
she's
wearing, like, it looks like a uniform, whereas the other feral humans are in their like little skin bikinis or whatever the hell they were wearing. So I thought they were gonna have a big reveal where she was like, oh, our spaceship crashed, and she was gonna be one of those astronauts. And it was gonna be from the ape point of view, going, oh wow, here they are.
So once the person has landed, though, where's the jeopardy in that film? Like, the point of the original one is you land, you're like, oh my God, it's a Planet of the Apes, it's crazy. And I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Because once they've landed, these astronauts land, they're just then in the same situation as every other human. And there's no mystery part because we already know what it is. So it's like, I don't know. Maybe.
No, I do agree. I hope they don't do that. Or if they do, it's like an Easter egg. Like,
but then
did you hear about the spaceman who came down? Huh?
What's the point of all of it? Where are we leading to in the series? It's just going to go on the same movie over and over again.
I don't mind a whole kind of, see, this is the thing, right? If you, because you're making us sympathetic for the apes, and fair enough, right? But then you're going to have the humans fight back, and then it's going to be, are they really going to pitch a, so for example, if you imagine a curve, at the bottom of the curve or the start, it's humans versus humans are more so, and we feel sorry for the apes, right? Because they're getting abused and stuff. And then it goes up as the apes take over, humans are now thinking, and then are we going to come back down because the humans now get control back and there's a war? And I'm like, whose side am I on here?
Well, we've
like,
kind of had that though, haven't we?
Yeah, they've already done it. Yeah.
I feel like the only way it can actually end in
it comes back is what I'm saying. Like the humans regain.
The only way it can end in a way that will leave you as an audience kind of like satisfied, and also in a way that you're like, okay, this kind of made, I don't know, not necessarily sense, but ends in a way that you're kind of okay with it as a moral story kind of thing. I guess maybe as if the bad, I want to call them the bad apes, but whatever, right? Kind of like get worse and worse, and it is, and they really are like proper bad. Like the saviors in Walking Dead. And you've got the humans and the good apes kind of teaming up together, and it ends in a utopian world where apes and humans actually can live side by side, and they are living side by side and getting civilization back together, and there's no more segregation between them. Maybe something like that. It's the only way I can see there being a kind of a conclusion to this plot. Because if you leave it on either side now, Hatchie, as you're saying, you can't root for the humans, you can't root for the apes, you're just kind of like, you won't really know. There's no good guys or bad guys anymore. So the only way to do it is to have people together. Or maybe even, you could even have, what about if the next film, right, humans have managed to get back in touch with each other, and you've got humans and apes together on both sides, maybe, and you've got bad ones and you've got good ones, and eventually it's just a war, you know, maybe a war between good apes and good people, and bad apes and bad people, and something like that.
Maybe. I don't think the bad people would team up with the bad apes, but yeah, no, I that kind of thing might work a little bit more. I don't see it happening, but yeah, I agree. I think the only way this whole thing ends is with a balance, because we've kind of been on the ape side for the last couple of movies now, haven't we, really? Because they've either presented the humans as evil, or like there's been just this small pocket of humans who are good. From, again, I appreciate it, I've not seen the last couple of films, but from what I read.
But that's why I didn't mind the way that the apes were presented in this one, with like the kind of like the bad guy being slightly Bond villainish, right? Because yeah, you've had the humans presented as like kind of bad most of the way through, but that's because we are Like doesn't present us in any way that we're not. Like, it just gives us, this is what we would be like, right? But then this shows in this one, it's like humans are out of the way, and what have apes done? Apes have just become like we are.
Like for me, that's one, boring in general, because all you're doing is just, you're giving humans fur and calling them apes, and then they're just acting in the exact same way. Like, why did you bother with the apes then? And secondly, I do think this would have been an interesting way to show how kind of religion forms, but you're also not having a dig at anyone because you're like, yeah, it's apes, don't worry about it.
And I guess it depends on how you look at it, because I find it, like I said at the beginning, I find that quite interesting as a study in kind of nature, because we always talk about human nature is this and that. You leave humans alone, or you strip things away from humans and they become savage. And this kind of just showing that like, it's not human nature, it's just intelligence.
Boring.
No, but I don't think it was. I found that kind of
done though.
It's
shock, shock, never... horror. It's a surprise. It just happens the exact same way, and there's nothing new you can learn. And apes are just going to do the exact same thing as us. What a pointless film.
That's what the original Planet of the Apes series was all.
Yeah, about. What do you want them to do? Like, I mean, how, you can't have a film with everybody if the apes are like, oh no, do you know what? Actually, we should just follow fucking Caesar's teachings and everyone's all hunky-dory and happy.
I'm not saying be hunky-dory, but if you have a Bond villain, you're like, oh yeah, he's obviously evil. He's like the human bad guys. Like, at least if you make him sympathetic, I don't know, it makes the film in general interesting. One of my big criticisms with this film, one of the biggest criticisms with this film is it's so formulaic. The only difference is it's apes. It's exactly the same as every other post-apocalyptic or like coming-of-age thing. You're just doing it with apes. Yeah. So why not mix it up a little bit more?
Push it. It's science fiction. You can push it into different areas.
Exactly.
Like, I appreciate you saying that. What you're saying about, look, he could have been a bit more layered, right? The Proximus, right? However,
I didn't need much. I didn't need much.
He says that bit, doesn't he? He says, look, what I've got here, I've got a kingdom of apes, not clans, I've got a kingdom of apes. And if you leave, you can't trust humans. And if you leave, I need to get in there and destroy them before they destroy us. Right, that's his motivation. Do you know what I mean? On top of that, he's fucking again. And then when you combine that with the fact that their civilization hasn't been around that long, he's a bit power hungry. But he can't have it if you make him too benevolent. It kind of, I don't know. Like, you're just making him again. If you make him like Caesar, then they're really.
That's not what I've asked for at all. But
are you sure?
I think we're in danger of repeating ourselves.
Are you sure?
100%. Yeah, that's definitely not what I've asked for at all.
Well,
MP can back me up on that.
I've zoned out about seven times. I asked the engineer over here if my microphone was working, but he says everything's good. So
it must be something to do with the time zones. It's been a warm day here. Maybe the aurora borealis and the northern lights has factored into it. I don't know if you could see that over there. We had a glimpse of it last night. Yeah. Quite the discussion between
Hatch and Deej about this movie.
Quite a discussion, yeah. For a film that's got a very average life.
Don't be a killer.
I felt like one on this episode.
I see, I got
all of the social media stuff out of the way. My youth.
Your friend is going to be livid.
I remember a pod where we mercilessly ridiculed Killer for his inability to fight his corner and get in. And listen, you don't want to be that guy.
No, usually not. I don't know. Y'all have just been very dominant on this episode. A lot of gorilla warfare here.
When Hatch is talking, you just have to talk. And if you talk for more than about 3 seconds, he shuts off.
Yeah. But for a film that's got very average ratings from all of us, it has generated quite a lot. I suppose you've got the I'll take anything that Hollywood throws out Deej level, where, like, you know, just consume it. Just consume it. And then I just want a little bit more from my films, and I felt they missed potential. That's the most thing I just think that they could have done a lot here. And
see, MP, maybe that's when you start coming in.
Yeah, I agree. They could have done a lot more. There were areas they could have pushed it in. Especially
there you go, little guy.
He's using his words. Go, fly.
I must talk to humans.
Just remember, podcasters together, strong.
Podcasters, strong.
Podcaster, not kill podcaster.
No.
Yes. Oh, goodness me. Right. Is anyone's rating changing? I mean, Deej, you must be going up after the defense you just put up there. Your defense there was stronger than that wall that they built until it was blown up. You've just weathered the sea of my criticism.
I'll go to a 6.7.
MP's
6.75.
MP's drowning.
I'll go to a 6.7. Yeah. No. I'll go to a 6.78.
I'll give you the 0.25s, even though I fucking hate that. Like, it is pointless, but
I'll go to 6.75.
You are pointless too, so makes sense. MP, well, you with your
I'll stay with myself. I'm tempted to go down because y'all have convinced me that this is not leading to Charleston Heston coming back. So I'm like, what the fuck is the point then? But I'll stay with a 6 as far as the movie-going experience.
In fairness to you, MP, I had never even considered that that was a thing, and that has intrigued me as an idea.
I thought this was all prequels leading up to it. It'd be like watching the Star Wars prequels and then finding out, well, we're not going into A New Hope.
I think you might have just landed. You might have landed on something that I just never even considered, but I just can't see how it would work. But yeah. I do find it interesting because I've never thought of that.
If I'm going to agree with Deej on anything in this pod, it is that I don't know where they would go with that, which is I agree.
Fair enough, but
it would be interesting because maybe that is just something they're gonna like. It's not gonna be the whole story, i.e. Mark Wahlberg landing in that remake they made and it just being a complete rehash, but maybe it's just gonna be someone landing from space and it's an element of it, and maybe the technology that they have helps fuel something that furthers the plot. So maybe
I figured they would change it, but I thought that's where it was heading.
I'm kind of interested to see that if it does happen now that you've said it, and how they would make it.
See, I did contribute to this episode.
There you go.
You've well done. Oh yeah.
Well done. Yeah.
Cheers, killer.
The socials were plugged and you gave us something to think about. That's fantastic. So moving on to the Rotten Tomatoes then. Let's see if you can redeem yourself further.
I feel the tension in your voice.
100% he's looking it up. I don't believe it.
What do we think of the critics and what do we think of the audience scores? And Deej, just for you, it is out of 100.
Oh, fuck you. I haven't said that for years.
No, it has literally been.
You rat bastard. You rat bastard. Mary Beth was right about you. Right. I reckon the critics. I reckon the critics are going to be more kind of like towards you, Hatch. Like, yeah, it's all right, but just kind of standard fodder. So I reckon the critics are going to give it maybe like a 65. And the audience, I think, are going to like it but not love it and maybe give it like a 85.
Okay.
I'll say the opposite. I think the critics will probably be in the 80s. I'll go 84. And I think the audience will kind of be around that 7 range. So I'll go 77%.
He's cheated in here. I can fucking hear it. There's a fucking I can't stand it.
Critics are 80 and the audience is 79.
Boom.
What did you say?
I said like what, 80?
You said 84
for critics.
Yeah, 70. You say 75?
Oh, I just
said 84.
Can I just say,
so I was intrigued by that because, as you said, Deej, I would have thought the critics would be more in line with my thinking. But there's one, right, that some of these guys, I did, it's like one of them's rated it good, and he's like, Planets of the Apes. This is his review, right? This is a top critic. Planet of the Apes fans will almost certainly be pleased by this outing. And that goes down as like a plus. That's it.
That was one of the apes from the movie.
Are you fucking serious?
If you're a fan of films with apes in, you will enjoy this film.
Well, that's kind of what Deep said.
That is what I said. Yeah, yeah.
That was ridiculous. Well, right. Look. So before we go, what was our overall rating then?
Oh yeah,
we got a 6.75, 6 and a 6.5.
I'm just sorry, bear with me. I'm just firing up the Just Go Watch version 5 calculator. You know, it takes a moment because of the power involved. So 6.5, a 6.5, and a 6.75. Is that correct?
Mine was a 6. Please don't bump it up.
Oh, okay. Okay. A 6.4. Panda dot.
There you go. There you go.
The only number you really need to know is the Just Go Watch number.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Don't, if you're someone that listens to Rotten Tomatoes over the Just Go Watch pod, you're the kind of person, really, who shouldn't be trusted to tie their own shoelaces, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree. Stick to Velcro. That went on longer than I would have expected, actually, for a bang average film. But you know us, we always have a lot to say. Or some of us do, MP. 6.4.
I'll have plenty to say on the episodes Hatch is not on.
Yeah. Listen, there's one thing that Just Go Watch show doesn't allow for, and that's weakness, isn't it? Like, if you show any weakness, it will get picked apart. That's simple as that. That's one thing I know for sure. Listen, it goes all the ways, doesn't it? You know? Like, yes. When Hatch one day is in prison for his multiple crimes against the youth, I'll have no sympathy for him.
Allegedly.
To be clear, I'm just joking. It's not serious, though I don't stake my reputation on it because I always say, you know, I don't know.
As far as I know.
Can you not say the Lord's name in vain, by the way, please? Because you don't know if there are people that are religious people listening to
you. Have spent the episode slagging off Americans and Christians.
I love our American cousins. Yeah, so much so that I sing their national anthem regularly, don't I?
Oh, yeah. Please don't do it now. MP, can you add something to this episode and sign us out? There's only one way that you are going to know what you think of the kingdom, of the planet, of the apes.
Just Go Watch.